All right, take your Bibles, turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter number 23 this morning. And I don't know if you've ever thought of this question, and sometimes I'm asked this question as a pastor, why do we have preaching? Why do we have preaching? And I remember I used to think that, and I'll go to church, and you know, you hear about these different types of things, and different types of churches that do different things, but why preaching? Hey, why not motivational speeches? Why not discussions, right? We can just have a discussion about the Bible, but why preaching? And this is a very important topic and a very important element of our churches today. Why is it that we have preaching? And there's a very important reason that we have preachers and we have preaching. The main reason is because God commanded it, and that is God's plan. And we're going to look at this morning in Jeremiah chapter 23. We're going to look at verse number 29 here in just a moment, and we're going to look at a little bit at the life of Jeremiah. And we're going to look at our reaction, what our reaction should be to the preaching as God's people. If we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God. Jeremiah 23, look at verse number 29. Jeremiah 23 and verse number 29. And God's Word says, "It is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces." Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing this morning. Dear Father, I pray that You will bless this message. And dear Lord, that You'd give me the right words to say. And Lord, You have ordained preaching. You have ordained preachers to preach Your word, not the message of men, but the message of heaven. And I pray that this morning that You would give me the right words to say, to rightly divide Your truth, dear Lord, to give me strength where I am weak. Lord, I pray that You help us have open hearts and open ears, dear Lord, that as we see in this passage, the two reactions that we can have to Your word, dear Lord, I pray that You would guide and direct us this morning, that You would help us, Lord, to be receptive, to have ears to hear, and Lord, not only to hear it, but to do and to act upon what we hear this morning. I pray that You bless and direct. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And a message entitled, "The Role of Preaching." So why not a motivational speech? Why not a discussion? Why not just an encouraging thought for the day? Why do we have preaching? Why do we have church the way we have it? Why do we do this? Well, we're going to look at three things this morning. First, we're going to look at the preacher. Number one, if you're taking notes, we're going to look at the preacher. And this morning, we could look at several different preachers in the Word of God. We could look at Moses. We could look at Elijah. We could look at Elisha. We could look even at Solomon. We could look at David and different ones that they preached. Look at Noah. We could look at Enoch and different ones like that. Look at Peter or Paul. Look at Jesus Himself, the master preacher and teacher. But this morning, we're going to look at Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah was a hero of a preacher. Jeremiah, you know, I think sometimes he is considered one of the major prophets, but I think sometimes we don't spend enough time looking at his life because Jeremiah was not known for his results. He was not known for seeing great scores of people won to the Lord. He wasn't known for having seen revival come to Israel. And actually, if you put him by today's standards, Jeremiah was quite a failure as a preacher. But we see that he had a message from God, and he was a faithful man. And he was a hero, and the messages that he preached still need to be heard today. That's why God recorded them. Now, this was the climate in which Jeremiah found himself called to be a preacher. He was in the nation of Israel, and this was the time before the Babylonian captivity. Israel was in a terrible spiritual state. They were full of idolatry. They were full of pleasures and sin. They were disregarding the law of God. They were twisting the law of God, making it say what they wanted it to say. And there was very few people that really cared to hear the Word of God. Sound familiar? That's the day and age we live in. And that's the day that Jeremiah found himself. And right here, we first have to understand something about Jeremiah. Jeremiah did not wake up one day and say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to be a preacher. You know what, I took my vocational skill test. You know, how many ever taken one of those? Like, what are you suited for? You know, what skills you have? What's your personality? I've taken a couple of and I was surprised. I forget the result I got. I think one of them I got was a lawyer, which my mom and dad said that I probably would be one because I was very good at pleading my case. When I was in trouble, I would bring in Exhibit A, Exhibit B, Exhibit C, and then here is the defendant, my brother, my sister over here, and then my mom said, you're going to be a lawyer. Well, I ended up being a lawyer, but I tried to talk my way out of anything. I would try, as some kids do. But then I think I took one of those, and I think I would have been an engineer or anything like that. By the way, I have no patience for physics or anything like that, so I don't know. They said my personality went for it, but I don't have enough. My wife knows me. Don't have enough attention or patience for that. But, you know, Jeremiah didn't take his little papyrus and say, hey, you know what, I think I could do this. Or maybe he saw someone up there being a preacher and said, hey, I think I can do this. I think I can be a preacher. I think I'm going to go and I'm going to volunteer to be a preacher. I'm going to decide to do this job. I'm going to decide to be a preacher and go, and God, I'm going to go do this. And guess what? That's not what happened. That's not how it went. He didn't say, well, this is what I'm deciding to do. God made him a preacher. Look at Jeremiah chapter number 1. Jeremiah chapter number 1 and verse number 5. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 5. We say that God, from his very conception, when he was being formed in his mother's womb, he was made a preacher. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, Jeremiah was a prophet. What that meant is that God gave him a message, and he would proclaim it to his people, to the people of Israel, and it was a proclamation of judgment that if they were not going to return from their idolatry, from worshiping Baal and Molech and the other pagan gods of the land, if they weren't going to return from that, then Babylon was going to come and take them away. Now, if you were in Sunday school this morning, we looked at the end of that captivity, how Israel was completely decimated. Now, at this time, Israel was very prosperous. Israel was doing very well. Israel had no enemies that they thought at this point. And they said, everything is going to continue the way it has been. Nothing bad is ever going to happen to us. Things are just going to continue on. We can live the way we want, and nothing bad is ever going to happen. Our nation's always going to be here. We're always going to be prosperous, and it doesn't matter what we do. We're always going to be here. Sound familiar? That's the day and age we live in. By the way, you are foolish to think that the United States of America will always be here if it continues on the path that it's on. If it continues on the path of wickedness and sin and thumbing its nose in the face of God, we are very sorely mistaken to think our nation will remain. God has given us some time. You know why God has been merciful and gracious to us? Because of those that have gone on before us and founded our nation. God is giving us mercy. But I don't know about you, but I think we need to really start praying if you don't want our country to go to war. We are the closest to war with Iran than we have been in about 30 years. And it could happen at any moment. And this is a big problem. And it's something we need to pray for because Iran has nuclear weapons. We haven't gone up against a country that has had those, I don't think ever, directly. That's something we need to start praying as a people. Amen? We need to start praying. And we have a lot of soldiers in here. And that they could be sent to do a job that no soldiers had to do before. Now, I'm not trying to scare people here today, but this is the reality of the day and age we live. Amen? And this is the day and age that Jeremiah found himself in a very similar time, a very similar type of attitude towards the things of God. And so right here, Jeremiah was made a preacher. He was God's man and he was delivered God's message. And this was not always easy. You know why? He had a very tough audience. We're going to look at that in just a minute. You would think that the nation of Israel, that God had founded them, that God had established them, that God had protected them, that God had provided for them. Hey, they're going to listen to God's message, right? Wrong. They were sure of themselves. They said, we don't need any of that. We don't need to get back to the Bible. We don't need to get back to doing right. Hey, we're fine the way we are. Hey, what is this guy over here? Now, Jeremiah had a tough time. He was sent to a people who were rejecting God and worshiped other gods. And you know what happened to him, Jeremiah? You know, he just didn't go and preach on the corner and just nothing ever happened to him. You know what happened right off the bat? He got beaten and put in the stocks. He got put in prison. Jeremiah was put in prison multiple times by the king because he didn't like what Jeremiah was prophesying about the nation. And so he was put in prison multiple times. He was beaten and put in the stocks. He was mocked. He was lied about. He was told, well, you're not really a prophet of God. You're really not telling the truth. The king burned one of his messages, one of the prophecies that God commanded Jeremiah to write down, had his scribe write it down. He gave it to the king, and the king, as when he heard it, he took it and he burned it. You know what Jeremiah did? Had him write it down again. You can't destroy God's word like that. You can't change just because you burn it doesn't make it not true. Doesn't mean it doesn't. And that's what these people's attitude was toward God. Just like taking this Bible, taking and burning it, which a lot of people do today. As if we don't need that. He was locked up in prison. Then, to top all that off, they had them in these prisons. He was in the innermost dungeon. In the basement, bottom floor, where it was damp and dark, where it stank, where it was vermin infested. In these places, they had a hole in the middle, and then they had a pit. And by the way, they didn't have indoor plumbing back then. So all of the human waste and all of the filth and all of that would rain into the center thing. You know what they did? We want to kill off Jeremiah. We hate him so much. They lowered him down. They stuck him in the mire, the Bible calls it. And it says he sank in the mire. In stinking human filth. And left him there to die. But then an Ethiopian came to the king. And he said, why have you done this to Jeremiah? They had him lifted up. You know what? How many of you would you say, hey, I'm done. I quit. I'm over with. I'm done with this. And plus many other things that happened to Jeremiah. This man went through it. And at one time he decided, you know what? When he first got beaten and put in the stocks, he said, I'm done. I quit. Lord, you deceived me. You lied to me. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 20. You know, because I think Jeremiah, when he started off, hey, these people are going to listen. Hey, these people are going to, they're going to listen to me and they're going to repent and they're going to do right. And maybe this is going to be great and this is going to be wonderful. Guess what? He preaches a message and then he gets beaten and he gets put in prison. Verse number 1, now Pashur, the son of Emer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. And what was it? It was the chapter 19 where he wrought a work upon the wheels and that God wanted to take the sin out of Israel so he could make it a fit vessel. Well, they didn't like to hear that. So this man was the priest. He was the head man of the temple. He was the head pastor. And so he heard that Jeremiah didn't prophesy good things concerning what they were doing towards the religious system of the time. So what he did is Pashur smote Jeremiah, the prophet, and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which is by the house of the Lord. So what they would do is they would beat people. They would beat them with rods, usually, or whip them, and then put them in the stocks right by the temple so people could walk by and see you as an example. And many of people would mock you as they walked into the temple, and it was as a public example. Hey, don't listen to this preacher. We look down at verse, keep going down. Verse number 3, and it came to pass on the morrow that Pasher brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah to him, the Lord hath not called thy name Pasher, but Magor Mesebib. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of the city and all the labors thereof and all the precious things thereof and all the treasures of the things kings of Judah will I give into the land hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them and take them and carry them to Babylon. And verse number 7, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, then hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. So I didn't know it was going to be like this. They're mocking at me. And verse number 9, then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire. Now remember the first verse we looked at this morning. That God's word is like a fire. Fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. For I heard the defaming of many fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watch for my halting, saying, peradventure, he will be enticed and will shall prevail, and we shall take our revenge on him. They were just waiting for him to quit. They were waiting for him. But you know what? He said, I quit. I'm done. But he said, you know what? That's what God called me. I have a message that God gave to me, and he couldn't help but give that message out. In the end, he could not withhold what God had made him to do. Now, there were other preachers and prophets out there at that time. We see that all through the book of Jeremiah, there were lots of preachers and lots of prophets, but they were false preachers and false prophets. They were prophets that would tell people what they wanted to hear. They were preaching you're no danger. You're not in danger of judgment of God. God loves you and God loves us and he wants to do us good. And, you know, God is love and God is gracious and he's pleased. He doesn't care about what we do. He thinks what we're doing is fine. Yes, maybe there's many paths to God, you know. Sound familiar? But guess what, Jeremiah? He kept preaching. It didn't sound like he learned his lessons from being in the sock, did it? At least the lesson that they wanted him to learn. And you know what? I pray that we have more preachers like that in America, that there might be a time when that begins to happen. He went to prison over and over again. But he kept preaching. He kept preaching. He kept preaching. Now, we don't see Jeremiah ever start a church. We don't see recorded what good results he had. All we see, all the bad things that happened to him. And, you know, some people would think, man, Jeremiah, you need to get a new line of work. Why don't you just give in to the new way of things? I know God's telling you this, but it looks like people don't want to hear, and it looks like they don't want to listen, so why don't you just quit? He said, no, I can't. You know why? Because God didn't tell you. God told me to go. God told me to preach. God gave me a message. As long as he gives me a message, I'm going to keep preaching. That's exactly what he did. And maybe there's a young man or a gentleman in here today that God has made you a preacher. You don't know it yet. You know what? I did not choose this line of work. I don't call it, it's not a work, it's not a job, it's a ministry. But guess what? The one thing, you know what? I did look at being a lawyer, but I thought it would take too long to become one. So I decided I didn't want to do that. I was going to be a pilot, loved flying airplanes, going to be a pilot. I was told I had gifts and flying airplanes and mechanical things, and thought about being a railroad engineer, but I thought, you know what, that takes too long to do that too. So, you know, I was looking at doing something. I was getting ready to go, and then one day I was like, hey, I'll be a missionary pilot. That sounds godly, and I get to do what I want to do, right? And but I, for many years, that's what I was going to do. But really, in the back of my mind, I really wanted to be a pilot, and I wanted to be the best of the best. I wanted to be, hey, if they needed some dangerous mission somewhere, that I was going to be the one to go. Someone else, I couldn't handle flying that plane. They call me up and say, we need you over here. That's how I thought of myself. Kind of arrogant, right? A little bit, yeah. But that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be important. And every time I said, you know what? And people would say, when I was in at camp, they said, maybe God is going to call you to be a pastor or a preacher. I sit there, nope, not me. Nope. I'm never going to be a preacher. Never, ever. Not because I didn't respect the office, because I didn't want to get up in front of and talk to people. I didn't want to get up there and talk to people. I didn't want to get up in front of people. I said, nope. Hey, you know what? And they don't make any money either. I don't want to do that. And I could say, nope, nope, nope. Even through most of college, I was like, nope, nope, nope. But then, when I got saved, God said that you're going to be a preacher. I said, yes, Lord, I'll do it. And here I am. And I'm going to keep preaching the message of God, whether it's popular or not. Whether people like it or not. Because God's truth is God's truth, and God's truth is the only truth that we have, and the only truth that we need, and the only truth that is really true. Because if you go outside of God's word, what is truth then? It's whatever you want it to be. The preacher. Make no mistake, there are some attributes of all preachers. John 1:6, very short verse. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. John the Baptist. Guess what? He wasn't sent from man. He wasn't sent by a king. He was sent from God. He was chosen. He was made a preacher from the very womb. Then second, they speak God's message, not their own. Look at Acts chapter 5 and verse number 20. Acts chapter 5, verse number 20. That's what a true preacher is. They're sent from God. And they preach God's message. They're not loyal to a man. They're not loyal to a government. They're not loyal to a king. They're loyal to God alone. And this was the command that God gave to the disciples after they were in persecution and they had put them in prison. And the angel of the Lord had let them out. In verse number 20, this was the command of the Lord by this angel. Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this light. Go and preach and teach. You go back. You just got arrested and put in prison for going and preaching and teaching there. Go back and do it. Go back and preach and teach the people all the words of this life. What is that? The gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. So that brings us to number two, the message. So we see number one, the preacher. Number two, the message. The message that Jeremiah preached was not one of popularity. It was not a message of self-help, of self-esteem, of that to make you feel good. If you want to go feel good, go watch Joel Osteen. And he is retiring, I guess, by the way. Something like that. But he goes, you need your best life now. You need to look at yourself and look yourself in the mirror and tell yourself how wonderful you are and how great you are and how marvelous you are. There's no Bible for that. There's a lot of Bible for the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? We have a lot of verses for the depravity and sinfulness of man. But that God is good. Jesus said that there is none good but God. Was not a message of self-help. It was not a message that made you feel good. It was not a message of comfort, though there are comforting messages in the Bible. It was an alarming message. It was a message of warning as one that would speak to people that were in great danger. Now, Jeremiah went and he preached the judgment and the destruction. He told people what the end of their ways was going to be. He told them what the result was going to be, that they were going to be killed, that their nation was going to be captive, that Babylon was going to destroy it all, and that this all was the will of God, and this was the judgment of God. But if they turned back, it wouldn't happen. They could have stopped it. Look at Jeremiah chapter 3, verse number 6. He warned them of their sin. This was their sin. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. What's it talking about? That they had worshipped other gods. The first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The first of the Ten Commandments. It was an alarming message. They were in danger of God's judgment. Jeremiah didn't relish this. He didn't want them destroyed. He didn't want the Israelites to be carried away because he would have been included in that. He didn't want that to happen. But he was warning them, telling them, this is what's going to happen. This is where sin is going to take you. And this is what's going to happen. But God is merciful. He'll forgive you. Turn back to Him. But they wouldn't do it. They refused. The judgment that God was going to send was that of defeat. By the way, this is not a popular message. It was not then, and guess what? It isn't now. In that, we preach in the sins of our land. Yes, we have a lot of prosperity. We're the most prosperous nation in the world. Possibly the most prosperous nation that has ever been on planet Earth, possibly. What we know of history. We have the mightiest military in the world. It seems like America is on top, that America is invincible, that nothing bad would ever happen to us, and that it doesn't matter what we do, we can just keep going on doing what we're doing. Everything seems to be fine. Well, guess what? In Jeremiah's day, Israel was full of preachers and prophets like that. And guess what? They were very popular. They were popular with the king. They had the king's prophets that they would come and then they would be very popular. I mean, they had the mega churches. You know, they had the big synagogues. They would preach in the temple. People would flock to hear them. Hey, people flock to hear there's nothing wrong with them. Right? And that's our human nature. Guess what? If we want to know the truth, we'd have to understand the truth about ourselves. And that we're sinners, and there might be something wrong with us that God can fix. Here's the problem sometimes with preaching. We can preach judgment, but then we've got to also preach the solution to it, that's Jesus Christ. And the solution to it is the Word of God. And the solution to it, there is a way back from sin, amen? There's a way back from doing wrong. You can do right, and you can be saved from your sin if you're not saved. And as a Christian, you can come back from being backslidden and back to a right relationship with God. And that's exactly what Jeremiah preached. But they wouldn't listen. He was sent to give a message to a stubborn people. Look at Jeremiah chapter 5. And God told him in Jeremiah 5 verses 1 through 3. It said, run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem and see now and know and seek in the broad places thereof if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. And though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. So what does that mean? Oh, surely the Lord liveth. Oh, they say, oh, I believe in Jesus, or I believe in Jehovah God. He liveth, but they treated him like he was dead. They didn't believe a word he said. They didn't live by a word he said. Number 3, verse 3. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Therefore, I said, surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. I will get me unto the great men, and I will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. So the people, the lay people, they were hard as a rock. Their hearts were hard. They were hardened in their sin. And so, well, I'll go to the leaders. Maybe they know the Bible. They know the Word of God. Maybe they're the ones that can reach. But no, they had given in too. And they were twisting the Bible to say what they wanted it to say. Teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. These were stubborn hearers. Now, if you look here at verse number 3 at the very, very end, said they have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Now let's look back at Jeremiah 23 and verse number 29. Jeremiah 23 and verse number 29. The Word of God can be two things in our hearts. Two things. Jeremiah 23, 29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Now, I don't know about you, but we see this description given. Where God has a fire on one hand and a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. That it can be a fire in our bones like it was in Jeremiah. A flaming fire in God's Word. And God is described as a flaming fire. The Holy Spirit is described as a fire. And it's a good thing. And that is, we take it into our heart and it illuminates us. And it inflames us and gives us boldness. And there's a fire in our heart. Just like Jeremiah had a fire of genuine desire to serve God. And God's Word was an encouragement and an inspiration and a guide in His wisdom. And He loved it and He wanted to do it. And that's what He wanted God's Word to be for everybody else. But those that had their faces as a rock, that God's Word is a hammer that'll break it in pieces. And these are the two types of hearers. Now, there are other places in the Bible where people get saved. We see Jonah, for example. He goes to Nineveh. He preaches a very similar message that God's judgment's going to come unless you repent. And guess what? They all got saved. Whole city, all the way up to the king. They all got saved. Then we see Pentecost. We see some thousands of people get saved and turn to Jesus Christ. But why not Jeremiah? They didn't make Jeremiah a bad preacher. It was the decision of those that heard him. It was their decision to reject the word of the Lord. How does that apply to us today? Well, God's word can still be a fire to a person who is sensitive to God. But do you know why our hearts shall turn hardness? You know what the Bible says? Is that we are hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Our hearts become stony. And there are people in churches today. There are people in church right now. People in church right here at Tabernacle Baptist Church. That you have one of two reactions to the Word of God. Either it is a fire in your heart that encourages you and you make decisions. And there's people all over that. There are people that they want to make a decision for God. They have a fire in their heart. They want to make a decision for God. When God speaks to them, man, they're at the altar making a decision. They're calling upon the Lord. They're saying, Lord, I want to do what's right. Will you show me? Will you guide me? Will you? I don't want to be a reproach. I want to be pleasing in your sight. Like Jeremiah, they have that fire in their heart. What we call them, they're on fire for the Lord. Isn't that what we say? Amen. They're on fire for God. They're sensitive. They're the open hearer. They want to hear. But then there are those people who are the stubborn hearers. They are rock hard. And Hebrews 3:13 is true. Look over there. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. And instead of God's word being a fire in their heart, it becomes a hammer that continually hits on there. It's a pounding and a pounding and a pounding and a pounding. Hebrews 3:13 says this. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hardened through sin. Sin will make you hard, and that's exactly what happened to Israel. Sin had made them hard. The decision they decided to harden their conscience, they knew what they were doing was wrong, but they didn't care. Oh, that's the day and age we live in. They knew what they were doing was wrong, but they didn't care. They knew they were sinning. They knew they weren't doing right. They knew, but they hardened their heart. They became a rock. Whenever Jeremiah preached, it was like a hammer hitting a rock. Over and over and over again. Guess what? When a rock hits a hammer, or a hammer hits a rock, it's not a pleasant sound. It's not a pleasant experience. If you ever take a hammer and you hit a big old rock over and over again, guess what? Your hand's going to start hurting. Guess what? Didn't that happen to Jeremiah? They didn't like what they heard. Didn't penetrate. It just bounced off. And it bounced off. And it bounced off. And it was a constant hitting and a hitting and a hitting. But eventually the word of the Lord came to be, and then they were broken in pieces. Their lives were broken in pieces. Their nation was broken in pieces. All that they loved and cared about was broken in pieces because of sin. They have sin in their life, but they don't want to get rid of it. They don't want to change. They don't want to do what they want to do. What they want to do, they want to worship the way they want to worship. They want to listen to the music they want to listen to. They want to do what they want. They want to have the standards. They want to dress the way they want. They want to do whatever they want to do. They don't care what God says about it. You know what? And sometimes I feel for evangelists that go into churches like this. That you know what? And I've experienced it at different times. Very rarely here. But I remember walking to a church, it was a big church, and there was those that were sensitive to the preaching of the Word of God. And it was a sermon that really brought you to a decision. Guess what? People don't like messages today that bring them to a place of decision. They don't like it. You know what? When we had Larry Brown in here, guess what? By the end of that, you were brought to a decision. You had to decide which way you were going to go, and you were very clear what path you had. And that's what preaching is. It is foretelling the Word of God that brings you a decision about God's Word. Are you going to do it or not? There's the result if you do it. Here's the result if you don't do it. And that's what preaching is. And I was preaching there, and there was the older generation. I mean, they were listening, they were hearing, and this is impressed upon my mind. They were on fire, they were hearing it, they were being encouraged. But then there was my generation up to about 30, 40, maybe 45 years old, crossing their arms and said, "I dare you to make me change." Crossing their arms, sticking their lip out, wouldn't even open their Bible. "I dare you to make me change. I dare you to make me obey the Word of God. I don't like what you're saying at all." Click, off it went. Guess what? They have a heart that was hard like a rock. Guess what? Those people end up not in church very soon afterwards. They end up not caring about the things of God. When you harden yourself to the Word of God, you harden yourself to the things of God. You harden yourself to the plight of lost people. You harden yourself to it all. And eventually you just dry up and blow away. They want to worship the way they want to. When they come up against a preacher and the message of God's Word, the preaching of God is like a hammer in their face. It's like a hammer in their heart. It just bangs and bangs and bangs. After a while, you get tired of hearing banging. It just keeps hitting and hitting and hitting, but it doesn't go anywhere. They have the attitude, "Just try and make me change what I'm doing." They never go to the altar. The Lord never speaks to them about anything. While the Lord's speaking, they're not listening. These are the people that say, "You know, Pastor, you know what? We're going to go to church somewhere else. We're just not getting fed here, Pastor. Just not getting fed." Had nothing to do with the preaching. Has nothing to do with the Word of God. Has to do with your heart. That's the only problem there is right there. "Pastor, I'm just not getting anything out of my devotion." That's your problem, not God's. That's your heart problem. And when there's a heart problem, there's a sin problem. And so we have to stop blaming the preacher, blaming the Bible, blaming God, and start looking at ourselves and saying, "You know what? This isn't the direction I want to be going in." Because if you believe the Word of God and you see what the result is, sin brings forth death. But how do you change that? So glad you asked. Because God can take that stony heart and give you a sensitive and soft heart to Him. But it takes making a decision. God is calling to you. Maybe you're here today. You say, "Well, you know what? You know what, Pastor? I just haven't been coming down to the altar because God hasn't been speaking to me about anything. God hasn't been speaking to me, you know?" And some people ask, "Well, why do I have to go down to the altar anyway? I can make a decision in my seat." Let me ask you a question. Why not? Why not? Why not go down and have a special time with God at the altar? What's wrong with that? No, you don't do it for people. You do it for the Lord. You go down and you kneel and you pray and ask the Lord, "I'm dedicating this to you. I'm putting this down. I'm going down. I'm making a decision." Well, God has been speaking to me about making any decisions. And you have a heart problem. Has God been speaking to you in your devotional time? Has God been speaking to you through the preaching of God's Word? I mean, you can't say, we have the sermon club. We have some sermons here. Maybe the Lord doesn't speak to you when I'm preaching. But guess what? The sermons we've been listening to, God better say saying something to you. Amen? Well, God just isn't speaking to me. You're not listening, or you don't want to hear. Maybe you need to let God stoke that fire. Maybe you need to let God break that heart of stone. Let God break up your fallow ground and prepare for the blessings of God. And you know, to be honest with you, there have all of us have been times in our life when God has been speaking to other people around us. Maybe you've been in revival meetings and you see God speaking to people and people making decisions, and then you're sitting there and said, well, why isn't God speaking to me? Why isn't God speaking to me? Oh, well. Just kind of move on. Maybe you're a teenager. Maybe God used to speak to you in bigger ways than He is right now. And maybe the Lord's been moving in other people's lives and your family, but well, God's not speaking to me. Let me give a correction there. He is speaking. You're not listening. God is always speaking. God is always leading. God has always wants us to walk in the Spirit. But when we say, well, God just isn't speaking to me, that should be alarming to us. God should always be speaking. We should always be hearing the voice of God. Maybe it's the pastor, I haven't heard it for a while. Then you better get down to this altar at invitation time and say, Lord, I want to hear it again. I don't know what it is. Show me what's causing this. I want this sin out. I want to hear from you again. Because it's not me and my message. It's God's message and God's Holy Spirit speaking to hearts. Well, God just didn't speak to me today. God didn't speak to my heart. I listen, Pastor, I listen, but you know, I hear God's word. You know, I didn't feel like I needed to do and make a decision about it today. By the way, we never make a decision based on our feelings. We make a decision based on what's right. Guess what? None of us feel like going down to the altar and confessing our sin. Amen? None of us feel like doing that. Because honestly, that's feelings are a fleshly component of our life and are run by the flesh. But we do what's right in the sight of God. We know there's something wrong. We know there's something not right there. We go and get it right. Guess what? We get up and we're rejoicing. We have peace and blessing. And that fire is stoked in our heart. So what's the Word of God to you in your life and the preaching of the Word of God? Is it a fire or is it a hammer? God wants it to be a fire. But remember, God's Word is a fire and it consumes all that is temporary in this life. It burns out the dross. It burns up all that is not profitable and vain for our benefit. It refines our life. That's why people harden themselves. Oh, I don't want that anymore. I don't want that burn out of my life. I want to put up the protection. Put up that rock. And the hammer hits and hits and hits and hits and hits. But eventually that hammer will break that rock in pieces. A life will be in pieces. A family will be in pieces. A future will be in pieces, and it's nobody's fault but your own. But it doesn't have to be that way. You look at Israel, and you see the very much the parallels to America today. And you look at what happened to Israel, and you look at it, and you shake your head. It didn't have to be that way. How many people's lives do we know of that we can look back and say, it didn't have to be that way? Don't be one of those that someone will say of you, it didn't have to be that way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this morning. I pray that you would bless us as we come to this invitation time. And Lord, you know that I love these people. And that you love them great, even more than I do. For Lord, you love beyond all ability and all knowing of our comprehension. Lord, I just pray that your word would be a fire in our hearts, that it would not be a hammer on the stony, rock-hard hearts that we can sometimes acquire through sin and through stubbornness and through pride, through laziness, through apathy, whatever it might be, dear Lord, whatever the sin is, great or small, Lord, I pray that we would confess it this morning, that we would take time to say, I don't want this heart of stone. I want a heart that is tender, a heart that is on fire. Dear Lord, I pray that you'd work among hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.